Hello, and welcome to Natural Geekery. This is a podcast that focuses on role-playing games, creativity, storytelling, and the flow that can happen when friends or strangers sit down with some dice, some rules, and decide to tell a story. We currently feature an actual play called Wild as Plus, where there is no GM, only two old friends using a few rules and creating a fantasy world and a story from random die rolls. My name is Brian. Welcome aboard. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Natural Geekery, or maybe this is an episode of Wild as Plus. This is a little bit of both. It is a hybrid episode, and we're going to get into why here in just a minute. But because it's a hybrid episode, I am joined by the ever-evervescent Dr. Hip. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm great. You? How are you doing there, Darth Thunderclap?
Are you referencing my microphone problems I had just before the show?
Yes, Captain Blowout.
I Captain Blowout.
Oh my goodness. When that happens.
Okay. I was going to make a horrible joke about what my ship name was, but I'm going to keep it PG. Okay.
You have chosen wisely.
For once. Okay, everybody. So this is an episode that is going to be a little bit interesting. This is just basically we're going to be talking at you for a little bit. We're going to talk about some things. We have come to a point with the show where we are going to need to make some adjustments. Life has gotten far crazier than I myself would like for it to be, but that's okay. I think it's temporary. And what are you doing over there?
I'm rolling Chaos Factor for this episode.
Oh, Chaos Factor. What'd you get?
Seven.
I don't know. Are we starting at a Chaos Factor 7 or did we start at a 3? I don't know. Given things lately, I think we may do Chaos Factor 5 for this episode. Okay, so let's get to brass tacks here. Let's just cut to the chase. What do we mean by changes to the show? Well, due to the chaos factor being fairly high, and we've realized that doing a show every week, especially for me, trying to put the show together every week, is just not sustainable right now. And I want to be able to put out the best show that we can. I want to be able to put out the best game that we can when we're doing Wild as Plus, and I want to put out the best interviews. And part of the problem is that I have run out of time lately in getting these things done on a weekly schedule. And I knew we needed to go with this when I was talking with Dr. Hip, when we were having a little conversation over the weekend. And, you know, just the thought, just the simple thought of moving the show to 2 weeks, I felt so much relief come off my shoulders. It was palpable, and I just knew that was the way we needed to go for now to, in a way, make the show better. It's going to let us help us craft the show, both in the interviews and with the Wild as Plus, and it's going to help us, I think foundationally, it's going to help us a lot with the Wild as Plus episodes.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to throw you a curveball.
Okay.
And zoom out just a little bit because sort of like a year ago, we started crafting these ideas of this grand experiment, a GM-less game. And all this time we've sort of been wrestling with what's the best way to achieve that? What are the best gaming systems? How do we craft this, kitbash this whole thing to make it work in a way that we can tell a really great story?
Right, with a podcast.
Right.
Right, yeah.
And so I think in our evaluation of what's worked, what hasn't worked, we've come up with some potential changes that might help that down the road. And we're still thinking about it, too.
Yeah, we definitely are. And we have come up with a whole list of some things we're going to be doing behind the scenes to take what we've learned with this experiment so far and hopefully make it better. We are still going to be using Mythic We're going to, we're, I think one of the things I think I feel safe talking about, Dr. Hip, is the, right? Like, but one of the things we talked about was making, it's funny because we said we weren't going to talk about this, but, here I am talking about it. But I think this one's okay. I think we both agreed on this pretty solidly that, like, we're going to start making our own random charts. We enjoyed the chart that you made so much for the dungeon encounters that we're going to start making our own before we go into a setting or go into a show. We're going to have some random event tables already pre-built, which will help us move the story along, I think, faster. And that's just where we may... take a bit of an off-ramp when it comes to Mythic, whereas instead of doing a random event with the descriptor tables, we may just use the descriptor tables to help flesh out something we have from our random event table. And we're going to kind of make our own, in a way, we're going to craft our own sideboard, right? We're going to craft our own side support, our own third wheel. To give us a little bit more support so we can flow with the story faster, I think is probably the best way to put it.
That's very good.
Yeah. So it's not that big of a spoiler, right? No. It wasn't earth-shaking or anything like that.
Well, and one of the other things we were kind of just trying to decide about was how Fate Accelerated is working.
Yes. Yeah. And more importantly, Dungeons of Fate. Like, I think you're right. I think the focus is on Fate Accelerated. I love Fate Accelerated as a game system. One of the things, like, the question I had was, are we really playing Fate Accelerated? We're kind of playing Fate Accelerated, but we haven't really, we've tried to use some aspects. We've created a few advantages and used them to our advantage, but we haven't really been throwing aspects on a scene. We haven't really been trying to discover aspects on an NPC or a scene. There are some foundational mechanics, I think, in Fate that we aren't using. I think part of that is because as we are playing the game, because we are doing double duty to a certain extent,
right,
of both being co-GMs, but not GMs, but also both players, because Fate is built with the aspects can be, I don't want to say cumbersome. It's just hard to keep track of those aspects while you're also trying to keep track of a chaos factor, a descriptor table, random events,
NPCs,
what the NPCs doing and all of that. So I don't know. I think we need to go forward with Fate. I love Fate Accelerated. Fate, the Dungeons of Fate mod, some of it has been incredibly helpful, I think, especially in the way they look at the Game Master never rolls dice. Much borrowing that from Dungeon World and some other game systems. I think it's Dungeon World, but where only the players roll the dice. And in that, which translates to us, we only have to roll for our players. And the bad guys or the monsters always roll at a particular threat level. And we don't have to worry about doing roll after roll after roll. I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's worked very well.
And I think that's something that needs to continue if we're going to continue with Fate. And I see, at least for this story we're in now, we're going to continue with Fate for the time being. But there's some issues with aspects. There's some issues with some mechanics of how we're doing this, and
we've been a little inconsistent.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
So maybe we'll try and come up with a more cohesive system of how we're going to apply the Fate.
Yeah, and even if it's a matter of saying, okay, let's build the scene and we're going to GM it, right? And try to compartmentalize that a bit more. So, okay, we're GMs now. We build the scene. Okay, cut. Now the players go into the scene. The characters go into the scene. What do they do?
Yeah.
And try and differentiate that. We were doing it a little bit, I think, early on, but I don't think it was difficult to do at times.
Right. Have a little more of the player interaction part of the scene.
Right.
Role play, that kind of fun. Connection point.
Yeah. And I don't want people to think we're moving away from Mythic at all, because we're not, because I think Mythic is one of those great systems. I mean, I still go back to the moment when we, through a random event, put the Sigil of Sadara downstairs in that dungeon, which was cool, which was like, oh, that's a really cool idea. But then you had to stop and think about it. And you're like, holy cow, this just puts Luden on his ear. Like this, the fact that that sigil is somehow connected to Sadara over hundreds of years. And this was, that was all because of Mythic. That was all just because of the way the system worked out. And then I think you grabbed onto it and came up with the idea based on the clues that had been thrown.
Another curveball. That's the stuff.
Exactly. And I'll take them. And I that's when I love this style of gaming. That like, it makes me want to play more when things like that happen. Because you get that feeling of there's somebody behind the curtain manipulating the game that you're not aware of. Well, that's not the case, but it definitely, it just has its own energy to it. That's really, really cool. So I don't want to get rid of Mythic at all. And matter of fact, we'll probably be using the Chaos Factor and some of the main plot systems that we have. We'll keep that in place.
Very good. Yeah. It's sort of just finding a way to strike the balance between the freedom of the improv and the mythic, we don't know what's going to happen next, with there's right. enough structure so the storyline keeps flowing. There's a bit of cohesiveness to it, so it's not just random nuttiness.
Right. Right. And sometimes the random nuttiness is fun, but like in, again, I want to talk about the last few episodes when, you know, we've run into some things where it's been random event after random event after random event. Right. And like, you know, the next thing you know, you're completely veered away from the plot. I think we've got, I don't want to talk about it too long here, but we don't have to talk about it at all. But I think we have an idea that what we're going to go with in the future to keep us on track a little bit better while still allowing some of that freedom of not knowing what's going to happen next. But just, we don't want it to go completely off track with four random events and we end up on another planet with laser guns.
What?
What? we're also, yeah, just actually that made me think, we're going to go back to what the original inspirations for the story were, right? We had talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
The Spark and Fate game where we talked about the inspirations for the game. We talked about that's where we're going to draw some of our inspiration for our random event tables is we're going to go back, look at those ideas, those themes. You can go back to, is that, that's not episode zero, is it? I think it might be like an episode zero, episode one, Spark and Fate,
right?
Where we talked about what those inspirations were. And I think we've stayed pretty close to the mark actually on a lot of them, but
oh, yeah.
I think if we're going to let those come forward with us as we make up how we want the scenes to flow a little bit better through the use of the random event tables and how we build things. So yeah, I'm excited. Actually, I'm excited about a lot of the changes. Hopefully all of you will be able to get by with a week break and every 2 weeks for the time being. I mean, if things change and things slow down a little bit and we're able to go back to a week, or we're able to maybe get ahead in our schedules a little bit and we can go back to a week show, then we will. But for now, that's the big news, and just wanted to sit down and wrap with Dr. Hip about some of the changes we've seen that we're planning on. We haven't been sitting around on our duff, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. We're still excited about moving this story forward and seeing where that's all going to go.
Yeah, and it's a matter of what started this conversation partly was me saying, you know, not only is, oh, my God, help, I'm so busy, what do we do? But it was also, how do we make this better?
Yeah.
How do we make this a little bit better? We've heard from some of you last episode in my midpoint little discussion on my little announcements or whatever. I had brought up that we would love to get feedback from everybody and tell us what you like about the show. Tell us what you don't like about the show. And we've heard from a couple people and we greatly appreciate that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you are listening to this and you haven't written in and you would like to speak up, now's the time. Please go ahead. You can contact us at any of the links down below in the show notes. Naturalgeekery@gmail.com is probably the best way to do it. You can leave a comment on any of the, on the show itself, but yeah, just reach out, let us know, what you would like to maybe see a little bit different with the show as we kind of shift gears a little bit and slow things down. Not too bad. Not too bad. Just a week break. No big deal. I think that's the high points. I know. The other thing too. And I think I mentioned this a little bit in the midpoint break, but a last episode, but we're also going to take that time that we're going to have that extra week that's basically going to be in there, not to, you know, nature abhors a vacuum and now we have free time, so let's add to it, but not in that way. But I've talked with Dr. Hip about working more on the world building,
yes,
of this particular world and how we can share it more through the Patreon so people can get little glimpses into this. My love of this game has really come from being a dungeon master or a game master. That's what I used to do the most of. And as we have gone through this little adventure in Wildest Plus and learning more about Draken Falls and Drakenfeld and that whole world, I've definitely want to be putting some maps up. I thought it would be cool if we could get some background lore put up on the Patreon for people to use, get some creatures and cultures and NPCs statted out so people could use them with either Fate or D&D. Those are the two right now that come to the top of the list for me. But I thought that'd be fun. Dr. Hip can write up some cool bits and pieces as he sees fit.
That's right. Flora and fauna and fiends. Oh my.
Is that the name of Hazo's first book?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Flora, Fauna, and Fiends.
Of
My Adventures to the Outlander Ruins.
I kind of like that.
I think, you know, we could do it. We could do it. But yeah, you're going to see a little bit more stuff come up on the Patreon as I kind of kick back a bit and use that as my relaxation between episodes.
Good. Is it GM story time?
Oh, but you just called me out, man. Yes, we can. Yes, let's do GM story time. This is something that I was wanting to do, and I was talking to Dr. Hip about it. And the original intent was for me to put it on separately after we had our little talk here, and we decided that he wanted to hear the stories, and we'd sit in and I would put the stories out there, and he could respond appropriately. I wanted to talk about a couple of things that happened to me recently as a game master I thought there were good examples of how to work with player agency. One in particular, which was, I had a group of players that I was running a three shot for. This was my first time running D&D in some time, and I'd been asked to run a three shot game. And so I was like, yeah, sure. And give me a few weeks to come up with a good idea and put things together, and then we'll do this. Of course, we decided to have this like right before the holidays. So of course the holidays totally ran it over like a runaway freight train. And we ended up not doing it until I think it was January, early January. But one of my ideas was I wanted to start the game with them basically in media res in the middle of a fight. And the whole idea was going to be that they were sent on this particular quest and they were going to the destination. It was a watchtower out on the outskirts of the frontier. And as they get to the tower, they were going to be attacked and a surprise attacked. And then the game would start. The game would start with the surprise attack.
You mean like an ambush?
An ambush. Yes, that's a good word for it. A totally an ambush situation to basically put everybody on their heels. Let me see how these players work in combat, what their style of play was. We had also had a session zero where I asked them for what they wanted, what they didn't want, kind of a spark and fate kind of thing, and set some ground rules for the narrative and how we were going to play around the table.
And they said, we want you to kill us on the first scene.
Yeah, right. I said, well, dude, you guys are mind readers. Guess what I'm going to do?
Just kidding.
So, yeah. So I came up with this idea of an ambush, and literally I had it all set up in Roll20. I had given them a bunch of lore. We did the initial sort of what I would call the initial roll of information, like the opening scroll, like in Star Wars, where I told them what was going on. And I was just about to start the game, and literally the players were in the game. We had, you know, hey, how's everybody doing tonight? Blah, blah, blah. We got the initial introductions out of the way and we were ready to go. And I realized I was about to make a horrible mistake. And that mistake was I was going to be taking the character's agency away from the players by putting them in this ambush. They weren't going to have any chance to avoid the ambush. And what made me stop to think about this was I realized one of the PCs had an incredibly high passive perception score. So it wasn't going to be, I felt like I was cheating them a little bit by saying, oh yeah, you didn't notice the ambush. Oh, you didn't notice that this was actually maybe a bad situation. And I wanted to give them a single chance to avoid it. And so I, at the last minute, I scrambled to roll everything back. And I gave the two players that had a high perception, I gave them a chance. And I said, just give me a perception roll.
And they're like, wait, what?
Wait, what? I thought, you know, like, what's going on? Which was kind of in a way got them jump started, right? And one of them failed. One of them kind of made the roll. It was definitely a yes, but. So I told them, hey, you feel like things aren't very, you know, something's not right. It's too quiet or something's wrong. You just can't figure it out. You can't place it. And that player then decided to kind of slow down and stop, but they didn't stop. They just slowed down. And I had a spot on the map marked for where exactly the ambush would happen. And they didn't stop. They just kept moving. The rest of, I checked with all the other players and they're like, oh yeah, we're going to keep moving unless he says something. And the player or the character didn't say anything. Instead, he took his horse off the road and was sort of like letting another character go by. And he was like slowing down a little bit to look around the scene. What he didn't know was that his horse, by taking it off the road, his horse had just stepped in or had stepped on the covering of one of the pits where the bad guys were hiding by the side of the road. And so I gave him a perception and noticed that his horse had stepped wrong on something and that the ground had shifted underneath him. And then at that point, because the players had gone past and he had kind of lost his place in the formation, but they had gone ahead and then they triggered the ambush. So we had the ambush anyway, but that's what I wanted to talk about. It's so important, I think. Dr. Hip, chime in if what you think about this, but mm-hmm. I think it's so important that when you're running a game, you don't take that agency away from players. You don't put them into, you don't force them or cram them down into situations unless it makes sense. If you have a player that has a high perception, then it's almost, to me, it's mandatory that you at least give them a chance.
Absolutely.
To avoid it. And if that means you've got to roll your story back or shift your story a little bit, I think that is far better than forcing a player into a situation where they're going to be like, but why don't I get a chance? Like I took time to build a character that didn't fall into traps. And now you're making me fall into a trap. Like that's what I was concerned about. And that was the story about the player agency that I wanted to talk about because it's so important. Not to rob that from a player or from a character or from a group.
Well played.
That's the game story number one that I wanted to talk about.
That's really cool.
I would like to hear if anybody else had other similar stories or things like that, they can send them in. I would love to hear them. Or maybe if you want to come on the show and we can talk about player agency and the dance that game masters have to do with that. I would love to do that. I think game masters, by nature, we love to tell a story and we get stories in our heads and we're like, it'll be really cool if this happens and then this happens and then this happens. And you spend a lot of time building the story for those things to happen. But then the players encounter those and they don't do anything like you had expected them to do, right? from the same story, actually, from the same game, something very similar happened. I had a whole encounter planned where they were going to encounter these like a highway patrol, basically, like a road patrol of the fantasy kingdoms, rangers or whatever you want to call them, scouts. And they watched the roads, and they were actually going to be coming after the PCs because of misunderstanding and political machinations going on in the game.
Ooh, good word choice.
Machinations. And so dun, dun, dun. I had this whole thing set up. It was an encounter that was not supposed to be combat. It was an encounter to put the player characters in a situation where they didn't have a good choice. If they had attacked and just murder hoboed these royal highway guards, they would have been the fact that they were already framed for something bad, it would have just gotten worse, because then they've attacked the king's men, right? The idea was to see if they would run and how creatively they could get away, and to put them in a situation where they had to make that choice, and hopefully they made the right one. And I had, like I said, I had two or three different angles planned out about how this was going to go down. And then, due to time constraints, because it was only a three-piece game, I had to I adjusted accordingly, but I had to just remove it. And I had to basically narrate what happened and move things along very quickly because of time constraints, which was an editorial choice on my part, because you can't, there are times you have to, well, like the writers say, right? You have to kill your darlings, because I absolutely love this character I made that was a highway guardsman that was going to just be a total jackass and be a just, yeah, it was going to be great.
Button pusher.
Yeah. Button pusher. And I had to let it go. And I think as GMs, we get really focused on the stories we want to tell, and we don't stop to think what's going to actually work well at the time around the table, how fluid you really have to be in order to run a game that's going to sing well for all the players involved.
Oh, that's really cool. It's kind of like a butterfly effect thing. Every choice affects the next choice.
Oh, I think so. I think so immensely. I think that you can sit down and you can formulate and script every single step of an adventure and try. And then, but the problem is you run into a little bit of a railroading. And I think, as you've heard in maybe a couple interviews that I've done with people, railroading is sometimes just fine. Sometimes you have to. If you're running a three-piece game or a timed game at a convention, you don't have time to let the players do whatever they want. You kind of have to railroad them along in order to get it done. It makes for a very confined feeling to a game. Mm-hmm. It doesn't help it feel very organic or fluid. And I think there is a happy medium to be found when you're GMing between what can we do to move the story along, but let the players still feel like they have a choice. And so I did. I let them have a choice. I suggested through NPC comments, I suggested very heavily that it would be a good idea to run. And luckily, they listened. I was surprised at that, but they listened. And so then, instead of going through the whole scene that I had planned, I just let them I said, give me actions as to what you're going to do to get away from this situation quickly. Like, how do you make this a success? And the idea was that they needed to get three successes of whatever they did. One person was a ranger and cast Pass Without Trace. Another person went ahead and scouted into the woods to make sure that the highway guards hadn't surrounded the building that they were in, and found a course to get them through. And then somebody else distracted someone, and they all got their successes. And I sort of narrated how they got out of the situation, and it worked just fine. And it only took 5 or 10 minutes, which was great.
Just what you needed at that time.
Right. Because I needed to wrap the game up. And actually at that point we had to start the game because I had to get them to the final adventure. Cause this was the way the timing fell down. the Highway Guardsman happened right at the end of game two. And so I used it as a cliffhanger. Like, oh, these guys are coming down the road. We have to run. And we're going to stop there for the night. Which gave them time to think about it for a week. And then when we started up, I kind of, it had to happen fast because then it was the third game and I needed to get them to the final encounter with the big bad, which was going to take a good amount of time. So I had to move quickly on it.
Well, personally, I love story time. So thank you for sharing that.
Well, you're welcome, Dr. Hip. You have been the subject of way too many of those particular moments where I've made the players think a little too hard, I think. I remember moments when sitting around our GURPS fantasy game where I put the screws to you guys and then I basically went out and like had a drink and like got dinner and came back.
Yeah, I remember bashing some of those out. And we probably also played the other way where you'd come back and then we would do something completely unexpected and you'd be like, well, crap.
Yeah, no, that happened. I was just getting ready to say, I can remember two times where I was like, give me 20 minutes because I have no idea. Like, but there were lessons learned there, right? Like another thing, just real quick, this reminds me, right? There were so many lessons learned during that time when we were gaming so often was, and this is something I've learned recently, it's so important for players to let the GM know what you plan to do the next game, right? Like if a GM, you can play it a couple of days. It all comes down to GM style. But if a GM is like, okay, you can go to the forbidden caves of the ghost crystals, or you can go to the black salt marsh, or you can go after the bounty on Bob the Farmer, right? which of these three things do you think you'll want to do next time, right? So that way you don't have to detail a salt marsh, figure out what the caves are about, and then decide if Bob is going to be a hard fight or not, right? Like you can spend time focusing on one of those three. And if the players can decide, okay, we want to go this direction, then that's kind of a gift to the GM. So the GM doesn't have to like burn the midnight oil, pulling a bunch of hours trying to make up something that then never gets actually looked at by the players. Right?
Yep.
That was a lesson learned. Lessons learned from Uncle Nat Geek. That's what we'll call this these episodes. Lessons learned with Uncle Nat Geek. Or story time. Story time with Uncle Nat Geek.
It's all good.
Well, do you have anything more to add, Dr. Hip? What do you think about all this? You have stepped into this role with such abandon, and you're here for anything, man. I want to say thank you.
Oh, that's
for
it.
That,
in
first
for
off.
A penny, in for a pound. You are
yeah,
so welcome.
That's the way. That is the way it's always been, dude. And you have been wonderful with all of this craziness. And we're kind of coming to I wouldn't call it a crossroads, but. A shift of gears. And what do you think? Where are you at?
Oh, I'm loving it. I think it's great. I think being able to still be that big kid, being able to use your imagination and stay creative in this world of this crazy world we live in is really the gift. You know, it lets you blow off a little bit of steam and remember that you don't have to take it all so seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Well said. Matter of fact, maybe we should just, once we get done with Hazo and Luden, maybe we should just do like a comedy game. Can we solo play Tune? I don't know. That's a deep dive for some folks. I imagine they don't even know what I'm talking about, but
that could be pretty fun.
You never know. We could do it. Fate could totally accommodate us there, I imagine. Yeah, those are good words. I think they're super important because when you take the time. Or just by getting into another place that's not here. I was going to say fantasy world, but I think that sells it short. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's why gaming, computer gaming, is so popular, right? People can kind of, it's an escapism. It's similar to reading a book, except you're the one writing it or experiencing it or adventuring through the book as it's being written. And it allows you to exercise those creative muscles as well as, yeah, just create wonderful stories. And I think that's what it comes down to. So, yeah.
Yeah. And that's
super important.
It totally dovetails with your player agency idea. If your fantasy world is just one more place where bad things happen to you and you have no control over them.
Oh, God. That's, yeah. Yeah.
Then why would you want to spend time there? But.
Oh, exactly. And that's not, that's a good point. That's a good point for GMs to think of. Like, I have shifted a lot in my style. And now, it's, you know, I think it's in the Fate books, they say, be a fan of the players. Like, you want to make it tough. You want to make it challenging. But this, like, life right now, the real world is tough enough, dude. Like, you can make it challenging, but always give them a way to win. Try to always give them a way to win, even if they're failing. I love the phrase fail forward. I think I've mentioned it on a couple of my interviews. Always try to fail forward.
That's awesome.
So they can, so they're having fun and not having anxiety over their game. Nobody wants to do that, especially now.
Yep. Gotta keep it fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. Thanks everybody for hanging out on what has been an unusual episode of, Natural Geekery is Plus. I don't know. What I don't even know what we'll call this, but this is a turning point. It's a point in the road. And I just thought it was good to, instead of just sending a tweet or putting out a little blast on the blog, I just thought it was important to have an episode where we just sat and rapped for a minute and said, hey, things are changing, y'all. And they may not stay changed, but for now, we're going to drop back a little bit. And which will help us, I think, make the show better.
So, absolutely.
Thank you, Dr. Hip, for being part of this journey. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Any final words, Dr. Hip?
Good roads.
Just cutting right to it.
No, we're sorry. Right. We like sharing this with you. It's really a privilege.
Yeah. Well said. All right. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and I will see you on the next one. Good roads.